Hey, welcome to our Going Deeper podcast. This is episode 4, and my name is Robbie, and I am joined today with Jeff.
Good morning.
And JD.
Hello.
And new to our group today is Wayne.
Hello, everybody.
And we are so grateful that you would join us, Wayne.
That's my privilege.
Wow. So we've just received, I think, incredible feedback about what we're doing here, and we're just going to keep doing it. We have a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys can tell that as you're listening, but we really enjoy this time that we get together and you guys get to listen in. So wherever you find yourself today, maybe you're driving, maybe you're working out, maybe you're just drinking a cup of coffee, whatever that is, pull up a chair and join us in this conversation. And we want to hear from you. So we've got email address, info@goodnewsgathering.org, as well as communication cards on the weekend. If you have any questions, anything you want to add to be a part of this conversation, we'd love for you to chime in. So, today we are going to be, jumping as we discussed, the idea of go with my gifts and what that looks like. And this past weekend, Wayne, you delivered a great message, about gifting and what that looks like. And so with that God gives gifts to every believer for service, that he gives us a gift to do something with it. And so, we always give an opportunity because there's always things that get cut, and maybe didn't get enough time to spend something on. But one thing I noticed was you had mentioned something called the C-zone. Would you mind just explaining what the C-zone is to us?
Yes, we'll go back to those zones because I noticed yesterday during the lesson that a lot of people are writing stuff down, and we probably should have had some slides up yesterday for the different zones, but that was a Rick Warren ideal, and many of you probably know Rick Warren, have read his books. But he talks about when we use our gifts, he talks about the first of all, we don't want anybody in a panic zone. And that panic zone is, for example, I mentioned if I was to pick up a guitar, JD's guitar off the stage and start to play for you during the service, everybody would be in a panic. I would panic. Everybody
that is there actually would, the truth.
That is actually the truth. I'm telling you. And JD would panic because I had a hold of his guitar.
You touched it?
No, I did not. I did not touch it.
I was in first service. I didn't see you touch it.
I did not touch it.
Okay.
We're dusting for fingerprints.
I was wondering if in second service you touched it.
It's just an illustration.
Actually, it was gone, and Josh's was there second service. So I talked to Josh, and I did not touch. I didn't touch any instruments. So I've been told not to touch those. That would be a panic zone, or maybe you know. And I've been in churches before where you know someone might be new to the church, and they bring in a couple kids and say, "Hey, we need somebody to watch nursery." So you stick them back in nursery, not even knowing if they have a gift for that, and all of a sudden. Sudden, they're in a panic zone, and you wonder why certain things happen or don't happen. So we here at GNG don't want you to once you feel comfortable. We don't want you in that zone, that panic zone. We want you to in where you feel comfortable with your gift, whatever that may be. And we want you to understand that the first time out of the gate, you may not have that what we call the C zone. You may find this isn't really where I'm gifted to, God wants me to use it this time. And then he talks about the drone zone where people will start using their gift, but they're just going through the motions. They're not really being challenged. Because I think when you use your gift, you're going to be challenged at times with your gift. And I think for us to grow, we need to be challenged. If you haven't been challenged, you're probably not using your gift the way you should. I'm sure the worship band sometimes try new songs. I mean, and when you try a new song and you bring in new people and new instruments or whatever, there's the challenge of getting all that together. You just don't want to play the same four or five songs over and over and over. The same with our gifts. And your gifts change from time to time. As I mentioned, there used to be a gentleman that used to play in the worship, sing in the worship band. He is now in Kids Connection because he says that's where God is, needs me right now. So we want you to find that what's called the C-zone. The C-zone, Rick Warren explains, is that zone where you're confident, you're comfortable, but you're also being challenged at the same time. And I really believe that when you're using your gift in your C-zone, when you're confident and you're comfortable, but you're being challenged, you find at the end of the day great joy in that. There's joy in using your gift that God has gifted you to use because you see lives being transformed and being changed. I'm sure when JD and Jeff, you guys are up in the worship band and you see people worshiping and you see people engaged in worship, it's got to be a joy for you guys to see that. Or I'll be back with the kids. When you see children coming out, and they're excited to show mom and dad, look what I learned today about Jesus. Or, well, this is what we're talking about. There is great joy. Were you challenged during the morning? Absolutely. You get challenged, but it's the joy that comes through that. That to me is great joy when you see that. I've worked here at times on the set design with Letty Allen, and her group. And, there's a lot of hours that go into that, but when you set back in the day and you see the design at the end of the day, it brings great joy when people walk in and you see the set design. So that's where we want everybody to be, to be challenged with your gift, but to be confident in it and to be comfortable in that and knowing at the end of the day, you're going to have joy with that gift.
Yeah. And I think when I think about it needing to move through those zones. So I may feel panicked at first. It may feel, unchallenging, that drone zone. And finally, if I'm going to move to that C zone of feeling challenged, confident, committed, in control, when I think about those, that takes time. And sometimes that takes trying out different things. And I think sometimes we're afraid to admit, this may not be a great fit for me. Maybe we jump in too much, too fast, too soon, and we're getting involved. And then we feel bad, like, oh, this really isn't good. But I'm convinced that if you are in the C zone, you will serve longer and not experience that burnout that so often happens. It may come eventually, but I'm guessing you're probably drifting back into maybe the drone zone at that point. Sure. Because you're not being challenged, maybe something like that.
One experience that we have on an annual basis, and we talk a lot about it because it's one of our biggest outreaches, but like Roots is a prime example of gifting working well for many of us in the band. Obviously we have natural talent and ability to sing or play instruments or do things like that, and that's fine. But one of the challenging things of doing Roots is it takes loads of practice. Hours and hours. This past year, we actually kind of tried to total it up for the average Joe band member, right? No one that's like involved in heavy planning meetings or stuff like that, but just the average singer or player. They put in 2 full work weeks worth of hours just in the practices getting ready for Roots. But one of the things that you see is as you get closer to it and closer to it, and then as you do Roots and you're there for that weekend, the excitement level is just through the roof. Now, there's all kinds of challenge. And at times, I mean, yeah, you're comfortable doing what you're good at, but it's uncomfortable because of how much you have to do and all the work that goes into it and everything. But you see that great joy happen, and you see people just totally come alive on stage and you watch the excitement and the green room getting ready for the performances and stuff. And it's just, it is that. I mean, it's when finding that spot where you are so expressing that ability or talent or gift that God has given you and you're using it for Him and for others. I think that's an important key. I mean, we have to be using that gift intentionally to serve someone else, not just ourselves. I think, Robbie, before we turn on the mics, you were talking about there can be a dark side to our gifting where we take it the wrong direction or we go a different way. John Ortberg, I remember a lesson that he taught. He called it the shadow mission, where our gifts allow us to be so useful in the kingdom of God, but we can shift them off course to our shadow mission, what we want to accomplish with our gifts. So, and like you made the comment, we can leave God behind, and that's very true, and we have to watch out for that. But when we're in that C zone and we are allowing God to flow through us, it can be a really powerful experience.
Yeah, and we can talk about that dark side here. I think about, Wayne, you had talked about it being a puzzle piece, and that you're going to shift that around and see where it fits and that it interlocks. And I think that was a great example of how it works, because it's a great picture. And we tend to think in pictures a lot with that. But I just think as we're trying to find our gifting and find our place, if we think about that puzzle, the puzzle takes time, and you're going to try a piece and see if it fits. Sometimes you're going to force it and go, ah, that didn't work, right? Because if you force it, you're going to realize there's another piece that actually was made for that spot, and move it around. And I think about, Mark Batterson said one time that a change of pace and a change of place equals change of perspective. That if you need to change the way you're looking at something, sometimes you need to move a little bit, and sometimes you need to slow down or speed up. You need to change things up to make that happen. And so I guess when you're thinking about that, how would somebody find out where they fit? Do you have an answer? I mean, anybody that's open to anybody, does anybody have an answer of where they find they may fit?
What I tried to do is mention yesterday, the Class 301, which JD teaches, is to me is so important here at G&G, that you come and you do that shape thing. You find your spiritual gifts, your personality. What are your abilities and in your experiences, and where's your heart at? And you put all those together. And then you come back in and talk and say, okay, where do you think I can best fit? And get you plugged into ministry. And you may say, and it may say, oh, yeah, I'll work with kids. And we put you back in Kids Connection somewhere or Infuse. And you realize, you know, maybe that just isn't a fit. So when I first started coming here 6 years ago, I started out in being a greeter. And that was my first gifting, was opening up. Because I remember the first Sunday that Janice and I attended here, you guys were in Haiti, and that was in January, still out in Southern State. And I can still remember pulling into the parking lot to this day, 6 years later, almost to the date, snowing, sleeting, but there were people in the parking lot with umbrellas trying to keep us dry, greeting us in this storm, opening the door for us. So I thought, you know, that's a gift. That's what I want to start at, because that made us – we felt welcomed here before we ever stepped into the building. So we started there, and then it has developed in okay. Then I met with Jeff and found out that I, you know, ministered for 22 years, used to preach, and I think he was really reluctant at first to give me a chance to teach, because, you know, maybe knows how – preaching goes sometimes to the teaching.
Well, it's like secretaries, right? You don't want them to have all the bad
exactly,
habits.
Exactly, and I mentioned that as a former basketball coach. You don't want those bad habits coming in, because you got to reteach, and it's led to this. So I think, you know, that 301 is so important for people. And then even if you've taken 301 before and you're not in ministry, and I think retake it, come back. Where is my, like I said, you may need that change of pace, and life changes. If you have children, sometimes you work in Kids Connection or Fuse, because that's where you're at. When the kids get older, things change in your life. So you may want to use your gift somewhere else. You may want to serve in a cafe or somewhere else. And that where that piece of the puzzle, because you're connected to other people, and sometimes those people help you get connected in the ministry too.
You know, one thing that you're talking about, Wayne, that I really appreciate, not only that you're repping 301, I do appreciate that, but one of the things that goes on in that class that I don't think people always recognize is it's not just me or whoever manages to teach it on that particular day, you know, teaching about the material, but it's actually you getting to sit down with, you know, inventories and, you know, little, you know, kind of personality tests almost, to kind of give you a sense of how God has wired you up. And one of the things that I think is that the Bible lists certain spiritual gifts. I mean, and you know what, singing isn't one of them, right? I mean, we think about people having a talent, like singing or like playing an instrument or like having the talent to do like what Letty does, those amazing backdrops and all that kind of stuff. There are talents, but then there are these spiritual gifts, these specific empowerments from the Holy Spirit that allow us to do things that are beyond the level of just a simple talent, but rather a gift that God gives us to whether it's like discernment, like being able to look across a room and recognize that's a person that needs something, or that faith to be able to have a big idea and believe that God is going to accomplish it. Or teaching or leading or all those kinds of, these are gifts from the Holy Spirit. And I think oftentimes people think of service in church like, yeah, I've got to go serve and I better serve because, you know, Jeff's going to tell me he needs my seat if I don't. And I really want to keep coming here. So, all right, I'll go do something. And if it's in line with my natural abilities, that's great. But oftentimes we leave out that part of the Bible talks about these discrete things called gifts that are a little bit separate from just, you know, can you sing or can you play an instrument or can you push a broom, you know, and I think many people walk around completely ignorant of the way God has gifted them as a believer. And so that class is so important because it actually gives you the chance to access from a biblical standpoint. What are maybe some of the ways God has created me so that I can be of greatest use to other people?
You know, one of the things I thought was just a tremendous part of your teaching, Wayne, was when you think about that C zone, it works in a couple of different ways. First of all, you can think of it with words that start with the letter C, like commitment or challenge and that sort of thing. But you can also look at it from the standpoint of the word see, S-E-E. Because I think when people really find their gift and they begin to operate in that, you will see certain things in their life. One thing you'll see is you'll see joy. Operating in your gift brings you tremendous joy. And nobody has to motivate you to exercise that gift. Nobody has to call me up and say, Jeff, you need to prepare your lesson. Nobody has to motivate me to do that because there I'm operating in my gift and it brings me great joy to do that. The second thing you'll see is you'll see fruitfulness. When you operate in your gift, there will be fruit that comes from that. People will be impacted by it and lives will be affected for Jesus Christ. That's another part. And the third thing I think you'll see in the life of somebody who's operating in their gift is you'll see fulfillment. It fulfills them. And they have it's just another aspect of that joy thing, and I think that's one of the great beauties of going to 301 and trying to discover what that is. And it, like you said, it takes some experimentation. And I've known people at Good News who probably went through four or five ministries before they found what we call their sweet spot, that ministry that just hits who they are. But when they find it, it's just beautiful to watch.
Mm-hmm. And I guess if people have been attending church for a while, they've probably heard the term spiritual gifting. But I mean, despite this, many people are still unaware of what their gift is. What do you guys think that is?
Well, I think just personally speaking, there is a difference between acts of service and operating within your gift. Like, I mean, for instance, one of the coolest things that happens every year, whether it's out at the fair or things like Vision Night, right? We have to set up all kinds of stuff. There are always people that stay late and pack stuff up or move chairs back or put tables away or things of that nature. Now there is a gift of the Spirit called service or helps. You know what? That is a gift. All right, but does every single person that stays and helps do that? Is that their gift? Well, no. I mean, no. I mean, some people are just sticking around to help. That's a service that people do, and it's a good thing. I mean, many of the ministries here operate in that function. Like, for instance, take for example the worship band. All right, that's a nice thing to have. A bunch of instrument players to play really cool music. It's an attractive thing. Is that in and of itself a gift of the Spirit as we find in the Bible? No. All right? But can teaching happen through that? You know, can leadership happen through that? Well, of course. All right? But I think oftentimes we confuse ways that we can serve and just kind of help people out with actually operating in our gift those are in some cases two very separate things. Sometimes they come together, like for the example of dad teaching his lesson on Sunday morning. That's a gift, that ability to convey God's word. But he could do that anywhere. He doesn't just have to do it here. He can do it at his home with a couple of neighbors. He can do that, you know, in a life group setting. He can do that here in a big setting. He can do it just with me in the office. You know, like all of those things, you know, his gift is portable. It's not just what you do where you go to worship. It is something that you should live. Dad ought to be expressing that teaching gift in almost every relationship that he has, not just what you do at church. So I think oftentimes what we do at church is what we do. That gift should be something that we are expressing almost our very self in all the relationships and all the areas of our lives.
Mm. That's interesting. Any other thoughts on that? Why people still don't know what their gifting is? What advice would you give somebody that maybe needed to, like, I don't know what it is. What do I do?
I think you just sometimes, like Jeff said, just choose a ministry. You join that ministry and you say, I think maybe this would be for me, whether it's before or after 301, and finding what your gift is biblically and what it speaks about. And like I said, it may not work, or maybe there for a season, and now you change. I mean, you'll never know until you try something.
Yeah, because just sitting around going, I don't know what it is, isn't going to do anything.
And I think a lot of people do that. They want to set around, and we want you to be proactive with it to get involved, because the gift on the shelf is never going to be used.
And I think in this culture too, there's we're so fast. Everything is such fast-paced that a lot of maybe it's just me, but for me, when God's really speaking to me, it's when I've slowed down, when I'm doing contemplation about my life, when I'm self-assessing. And we live in a culture that does not want to look at ourselves. We don't. We want to look around us to everything. Everything else is the problem. And I fall victim to that too. And I don't want to look at myself in that moment that, hey, where might I be gifted at? What might I need to be doing differently? What might need to change in my life? As we think about that.
I think for a lot of people, and at least a lot of people that I've spoken with, and I don't know if the right word is low self-esteem or what, but I think a lot of people struggle with gifting because they really don't believe God could use them. And they struggle with the idea that, wow, I could be a player in the game. God can use me. And a lot of people struggle with their past. Well, God couldn't use me because of something I did or something I said or somebody I hurt. And so I have to sit on the sidelines. I have to stay out of the game. And that's not accurate at all. I mean, all you have to do is pick up your Bible and you will see every character in there was flawed except Jesus Christ. He's the only one that wasn't flawed. And God used a lot of people who did a lot of bad things. And yet their lives counted. And that's the same way with every person that walks in here every Sunday.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about, I don't even know the story of King David or David and Goliath. And there's a perfect example. If you're out there and you say, well, I don't have that ability. I don't have anything to use, whether it be like Jeff said, I'm just shy and just, well, David wasn't even mentioned by his father of being someone who could even do come against Goliath. So here's a young man who was a shepherd, who all he had was some shepherding skills, which he did some things, you know, defeating lions, and then mentions that. But he shows up and they don't even give him a thought. It says, no, you get back here. This isn't for you. No way you can go fight this Goliath. You know, here, if you don't know the story, that Goliath was a huge man who basically mocked God's people and says, you know, if there's any way you can defeat me. And for days they went on and nobody would step forward. And I can remember a scene on one of the on TV where David steps forth to finally do it, and they hand him, I guess, a big spear and a shield. And he says, I can't use this. This isn't for me. He used exactly what he had been used to using. That was simply a sling and some stones. Now think about this. Here's a young man, basically the runt of the litter, so to speak, going forth to defeat this Goliath of a man, which just a, and they mocked him when he went out, but he says, you know, you've made fun of my God. This is not right. And so he sets forward with a stone and a sling and defeats Goliath. So people often think that, well, I got to have some special, I can't play guitar. I don't have a voice to sing. I don't have any. God will take you right where you're at, like you said. It doesn't matter where your past has been, what you've done. God wants you right where you're at, and he can use you. That, David is a perfect example to go forth and defeat the giant. It's just a great story to give us encouragement. We can do this.
Well, that story is interesting too. For 1 Samuel 17, and Jeff, we were actually just talking about that yesterday because it's really interesting because I think the way I read it is that David actually comes at it with the wrong motives because he asks multiple times what the person who takes down Goliath is going to get. And it was a king's daughter, riches, and no taxes. Right. And he's like, is that really what we're going to get? Like, and he asked multiple groups, like, what's the guy going to get? He's like, oh, he's going to get a king's daughter. He's like, oh, women, money, power. Oh, okay. And the interesting thing is that when he steps forward in front of Goliath, this is like, I come at you in the name of God. You know, like it's now, you know, you can't say women and money right there. But what we find interesting is for David's life, he will, for the next 40 chapters, be struggling with those things that motivated him, that actually propelled him to be known. And so you have the runt of the litter that, as you mentioned, Jesse, you know, Samuel shows up to anoint the new king to take over for Saul and knows that he's there and gets to like the end of what, six brothers and goes, do I really have the right family? And Jesse said, I guess I got one more son. I mean, how many of us like have felt that way? Like our own parents are just like, you know, if they're going to do great things, it's not going to be him. And so for me, when I read the Bible growing up and raised in a Christian home, I looked at it and went, those are the kind of people God uses. He doesn't use people like me. He uses great people, great motives, and you know, and then I start really looking into it and I go, oh, maybe I could do this, right? And realizing that God will use me right where I'm at. Even my weaknesses, my wrong motives, everything. He will use all of that for his glory and his greatness. So definitely some things as we think about that.
You know, to your point, Robbie, you know, as you asked the question, you know, why do so many people maybe not know or not understand what their gift is? And I think one of the challenges is that we see church the way we do it now. And it's a lot different because our culture is different and the world is different than it was when the apostles wrote the New Testament or the people that were constructing the New Testament wrote it. Church looks different now than it did then. And I think one of the things that, you know, G&G has tried to do is model as much as we can around those basic principles of each and every person being a minister for Christ. And yet you really have to read your Bible and you really have to understand how those different kinds of gifts were used in order to see it in yourself. Yeah, I think you really just have to kind of hone into some of the stories. I mean, you look at Paul. I mean, this amazing evangelist. Well, evangelism is one of the gifts. What did he do? He felt confident going into new areas, talking to new people, and engaging them in relationships, and then just kind of getting in discussion. Well, I mean, is that something that you're gifted to do? You can easily build relationships with people. I mean, Robbie, I don't know if evangelism is in your gift mix, but you are very easy to get to know very quickly. I mean, you just kind of walk in the room. No, I mean, like from the moment I met you, like you walked in the room and it felt like, yeah, all right, I know this guy. I mean, you were engaging, you were open, you were confident in yourself, and there was this rapport that was built with you pretty easily. I imagine Paul was probably pretty similar. This kind of outgoing guy that was willing and able to engage himself in discussion that might get uncomfortable with people he didn't even know. And like, it's, you know, when we look at these biblical examples and we read about the gifts, we can begin to get a sense of, How does this work? How does this play in real life? What would a person that had this kind of gift look like? What would they do with this kind of situation? And we could go, is that me or is that not me? You know, does that look like, does that sound like me? Is that not me? You know, and then begin to behave accordingly. If you're a person that has big vision type dreams and you believe with all your heart, with no question, that God could accomplish it if His will is in it, maybe that gift of faith is you. And so you need to start dreaming big dreams and cobbling the people together to make those kinds of things happen. It's really knowing and understanding what the Bible has to say about these gifts and recognizing those traits when we see them in ourselves. And I think Dad was right. I mean, it's having the confidence to know if I'm a Christian, this has happened. I don't have to wonder if I've been gifted. I have been gifted. So stop muddying the waters with, well, God could never use me. That's just not true. It's the Bible promises that He will. So start reading the Bible, look at these people who are expressing these different gifts and figure out what it is that you've got going on.
Yeah, when you think about the Apostle Paul and you look at class 301, you can walk him right through that shape because the Bible tells us enough about him you can see the spiritual gifts. You can see what he had, the heart, the passion he had. This guy was... he was very zealous to spread the gospel. In fact, at one point he says, you know, I did not want to build on another person's foundation. In other words, what he was saying is, I wanted to go where nobody had taken the gospel before. That was his heart. He had this ability to make tents. That's how he supported himself. That was a vocation that he had that he brought to play to help support his ministry. He had a personality. This was a driven guy. You see that especially when he got at odds with one of his ministry partners over who they were going to bring along on the trip, because he apparently, as close as we can tell, he felt like this other individual, a guy named Mark, couldn't be counted on at that point in his life, and he wasn't having that guy on his team. And you see all that, and then you look at his experiences that he had, the education and the ability to debate and to engage people in conversations who did not believe like he believed. Those kind of things all played into how God used him. And the same's true for each of us. You know, God can use your past, good, bad, indifferent. He can use it in your current ability to impact other people.
I think that's a great point there, that you can look at, you know, Paul and his education. It wasn't like he was going through his education thinking someday God's going to use me in a big way, right? And he didn't see that seat. Maybe he did. We see that seat of power, what he was going after. Certainly didn't see himself as an evangelist for some rabbi that he was trying to kill the followers of this rabbi for. Yeah. He didn't see himself in that position. I had heard Perry Noble actually say one time, talking about David, to bring that back, that he said the skills that David learned in the sheep pen propelled him to greatness. And that, you know, that I would say that God is forming you right now. If you're not sure what it is, look around at your life. Stop thinking this ethereal, it's out there somewhere. Look at right now what's in your hands, what God has already placed you, where you're working, what you're doing, that He's already developing these skills in you, or your past, your education, your experience. How is He using them? Maybe you go, man, it's so messed up, I don't know. Well, I think that's where good counselors come in, good friends, a life group, help. That's where those things come in. Class 301, those things all come into play in those times.
Well, you think about what David learned as he tended sheep, and then what it takes to be a great king. I mean, he learned that he has to feed those sheep, he has to protect those sheep, and he has to lead those sheep. Well, those are all aspects of kingship when you think about it. You have to lead your people. You have to feed them. You have to make sure that they're taken care of, and you have to protect them. That's your job as a king. And so even though he was performing one of the lowliest tasks in that culture, taking care of sheep, he was really, not realizing it, preparing himself for kingship.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so I think as we kind of wrap up here, to realize that, you know, we here at Good News Gathering want you to feel empowered. We want you to get into that C zone of where you are confident in what you're doing. And so sometimes that's going to take time, and maybe it's one of two things. Maybe you're not serving. We want to see you serving. And maybe you're not sure where. Well, we've got avenues for you to explore that. And so all you need to do is grab one of us or anybody. We will point you in the right direction. And maybe you're serving someone. You're like, I'm not really feeling this right now. That's okay too. And we want to encourage you to continue to keep looking, keep serving, in ways that can honor God. So, I guess let me switch gears, because I didn't start with it, and I've given you some guys. I posed them a question at the beginning. What is the worst gift you've ever received? God gives good gifts, but sometimes we as humans give really bad gifts. So, what's the worst gift you've ever received?
Wow.
Somebody bought me a Bengals shirt once. and prior to burning it, it was funny. Like, you know, somebody bought me this as a gag, and it was just like one of those where it's like, very funny, you know. But yeah, that was probably they knew me well, so it was funny, but it was one of those things where, like, yeah, that's a pretty terrible gift.
You spent money on this?
You spent money? You knew I would never wear this. Come on.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, in my interview, you all should know that I dissed the Browns not knowing that JD was a Browns fan. I said something about being a self-loathing Browns fan or something like that, and I still got the job, so... I don't know why. That's an act of God, right?
See,
there.
I'm like Christ, I express grace, Robbie.
Wow.
Whoa.
The worst gift I ever received, I had a girlfriend one time buy me like a stuffed animal cow, and it moved. Like, you like pressed on its paw. I think it was from like Build-A-Bear Workshop. It was the weirdest gift. Like, to be in like early 20s and I'm getting a stuffed animal, like that cow that moved. I didn't understand it. It was, I'm like, oh, thanks. Okay.
So, remind me to break up with you next week.
Yeah, that's all that cow did. Every time it moved, it was like, break up. You know? any closing thoughts as we think about gifts?
I think it goes back to also relationships. I mean, relationships within the church, within your group. Jesus came to establish relationships. And he established a relationship with people around him that he knew was going to have to carry on his message. And I think that's about us today. I mentioned in the teaching, you know, we live in a culture where the relationships, to me, have been broken down in our culture. And we have to go with our gifts and establish relationships with people. God wants us to use those gifts to go establish relationships so they can experience what we get to experience in our lives. And that's what the gift is all about.
I will always, it reminds me of John Maxwell's 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. And the very first one is the law of the lid, that I will always be limited by my leadership. And so I need other people around me. And this is kind of what we talked about last week, that if I want to go fast, I'll go alone. But if I want to go far, I'll go together. And so, hey, we're so grateful that you would join us. If this has been helpful to you, we just ask that you share it. Share it with some friends. Share it on social media and get the word out there of what we're doing. And again, if you have any kind of feedback, the yeah buts, as we call them, like, I've got great thoughts, but that's not going to work. And you didn't talk about this. We want to hear that. info@goodnewsgathering.org. Until next week, we'll see you.